Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's new car energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just for
Find
you.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Filling up right behind the Bills bench right now with their flags and their hey, 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 hey.
Hey, 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 hey.
Let's go Buffalo chant.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Hour number two rolls along here on a Thursday. Before we do get to Sal, ready to take your game day to the next level, enter online now at WGR550.com for a chance to win a $300 tailgate tray certificate from Alibaba Kebab to feed 12 football fans. Each Friday, a winner is going to be announced during Football Friday with Shope and the Bulldog. Fire up your taste buds at any of their three locations. Now, to the Western Hotline, Sal Capaccio does join the show. Sal, good morning. How are we doing?
Good, guys. Good morning to you as well.
All right. So the Bills got back to practice. It was a big injury report, 14 guys. But, Sal, only two players don't practice. So, for me, on a Wednesday, I'm taking this as a pretty good sign.
I agree with you. I wrote about it yesterday. I know it sounds weird to say, but when you start the week with 14 players in the injury report, that's not good. But if you actually look deeper into it, it's actually a little more encouraging than discouraging, to be quite honest with you, because of the 14 players, as you just mentioned, only two were did not participate, and that is Dalton Kincaid, which we know that he has a hamstring injury and he's pretty much likely out this week. It is a week-to-week injury. And then, defensive tackle Fedarian Mathis, who knows, maybe he practices today and, you know, maybe he's available, but that's it. Otherwise, the other part that's really encouraging is, guys, you had four guys, full participants, including A.J. Epinesa, who came back from concussion, Joshua Palmer, who it feels like, and Sean McDermott indicated, all signs point to him playing on Sunday, and then even T.J. Sanders, who is coming back from injured reserve as a designated to return, is a full participant. And given what happened with Max Harrison a few weeks ago, I definitely would not rule out if TJ Sanders would be ready to play already this weekend.
No, absolutely. I think my thing with Sanders is I just thought they'd maybe slow play it. Like, he's coming back from IR. Okay, it'll be limited this week. I was a little stunned, Sal, to see he was a full participant. I was like, oh, okay, I guess we're going there. But you're right. Like, how they treated Max Harrison when he came back, it was once he was ready to go, all right, big guy, you're going in. Let's see what you got. And there's been some positives, absolutely, with him, two interceptions. There's also been some negatives, of course, the big touchdown to Waddle. But I think Harrison has been a big plus for that defense.
Yeah, so I think that, you know, given that and how they treated that situation, you could look to TJ Sanders, given the situation they have at defensive tackle right now, as maybe already likely to play this week. We'll see where that goes, especially considering Fedarian Mathis and, you know, what his situation is, because we don't know. That being said, the other reason why it's encouraging, guys, is it is a Wednesday. It's the first practice of the week, and you have seven defenders who are limited. Benford, Bernard, Bosa, Cam Lewis, Taron Johnson, Shaq Thompson, Dorian Williams. None of them were wearing red non-contact jerseys. However, Khalil Shakir was. So we'll see where that goes. But I just find that as an encouraging sign that when you're already in Wednesday, when you're starting the week on a Wednesday, if it's something that, you know, might really keep you out, a lot of times you're going to be off on Wednesday and then get back on Thursday. We'll see. We'll see about today. So practice today, a little over an hour from now. We'll keep everybody updated on who's on the field and who's not.
Shakir is the interesting one, Sal. I know he was limited, obviously, as you just mentioned there, the red non-contact, but it being a rib injury, that maybe could point to about a week injury for him. We'll see what that means for today. But just with the wide receiver room, it's almost like give and take at this point with them. Like, oh, great. You know, it's looking like Josh Palmer's going to be back. Oh, no, maybe they're down Khalil Shakir. We'll see, though, Gabe Davis. I know you mentioned yesterday it's pointing to we're going to see him maybe sooner rather than later. And then also Mecole Hardman as well. I want to see maybe, Sal, what this wide receiver room looks like with some of the old guard coming in. Mecole Hardman, Gabe Davis, flat out, is a former Bill, what have you, rather than some of the young guys who we haven't really gotten to see too much. I thought Elijah Moore maybe would have a bigger role in the Bills. Even going back to camp, it kind of was pointing to maybe not. But Gabe Davis has already that rapport with Allen. Maybe there is something there.
Yeah, we'll see if Gabe plays on Sunday. I think there's a pretty good possibility that's going to happen. I am, you know, just trying to read the tea leaves of the way Sean McDermott has talked about him, how much he's practiced the last few weeks leading into this week. So I do think that it's possible we see Gabe Davis on Sunday. And, you know, we'll see what that does for the offense. Now, they obviously are struggling right now in the passing game by not only the eye test, but some of the metrics, things like that. Struggling for guys to get open. Another area they're struggling, I think, is sometimes when Josh is in the scramble drill, right? And he's running around looking for somebody. And, you know, Gabe has been very good in those instances. He's been very good for Josh to kind of get open and understand where to be when Josh is, you know, looking for somebody to throw to. And last week, there just wasn't anybody there. The thing that is going to hurt them this week for sure, though, is not having Dalton Kincaid. He's been their most reliable pass catcher. He's been their best mismatch. You hope that Josh Palmer can kind of, you know, take that on from the wide receiver spot, but not having Dalton Kincaid as a tight end is obviously, you know, problematic. When you go into a game and you already are concerned about what you're doing in the passing game and you haven't been able to do enough and he's been your top guy and then you come back and he's not out there. I think that they have to figure something out with that, whether that's incorporating Gabe Davis, who knows? You bring up Mecole Hardman. I mean, I don't know when Mecole Hardman's going to play either. If he's going to play anytime soon, I do think his path to play right away is returning punts and kicks. The Bills have to do a better job of having some starting field position. And I would say this, because of Khalil Shakir's injury, maybe right away you think, okay, we're not going to put him back there to return punts, right? I mean, do you want Khalil Shakir back there, even if he's healthy enough to play, do you want him back to return in punts? You might want Mecole Hardman right away to step in if it's not going to be Brandon Codrington active.
Sal, when it comes to staying on the injury report here, the defense still dealing with it. Corners with Taron Johnson, Christian Benford, they do have the encouraging the fact that they were limited right away to start the week. Cam Lewis also on that list, but also the three linebackers, Terrell Bernard, Shaq Thompson, Dorian Williams. It's encouraging that they all got on the field and practicing, but it does look like the lumps to the defensive depth chart is still at large.
Yeah, for sure. They're just banged up, you know, on defense. It's as simple as that. They're banged up and they're piecing it together. You know, they didn't do a terrible job last week other than, you know, late in the game. A couple of long runs went against them and they were on the field for a long time, no doubt. They could have been better earlier in the game and a couple critical downs. That's also the case. I think one-on-one, Max Harrison, you mentioned it, getting beat by Jalen Waddle. You know, that was a big play in the game. But I thought that overall the defense, you know, did what they could do to try to hang on as long as possible. The offense wasn't scoring. That said, they're trying to hang on as long as possible with, you know, really parts and pieces that are being pushed together because they have so many injuries. You know, they've missed Shaq Thompson. You know, it's good that he was a limited participant yesterday. We'll see if he plays this week with the hamstring, but that's a guy that you can use in a matchup situation, and we've seen that. He's filled in for both Matt Milano and Terrell Bernard, but he also gets used as a third linebacker when they need him there. I like the secondary, the way it's piecing together right now, guys, to be quite honest with you. I think the secondary is starting to look a little better and kind of, you know, the communication piece and those things that we talk about when Max Harrison came back and when Jordan Hancock, now he's starting to get a little bit of run and, you know, they're moving him in and out of the lineup based on down and distance and situation and personnel to get a little more speed on the field. And I feel like that's trending in the right way. Christian Benford, obviously a big piece to get back. They missed him against the Miami Dolphins. So I like that part of it. But up in the front seven, I mean, so many parts that are moving around. You just hope that they can do what they can to kind of survive as long as they can before they get guys back.
Sal, you mentioned the secondary, and I did want to expand on that because Harrison's been brought up a couple times now. But Cole Bishop, I do think he is really starting to come into form a little bit here on the back end for the Bills. You mentioned it, how they're communicating more effectively. Bishop is kind of making plays everywhere on the field as of late over the last few games. He does seem to be stabilizing a little bit more as Buffalo's safety back there.
I agree, and I think this is a great example. It really was right away. We started talking about this, but I think even more so, just a great example that you just can't make these sweeping judgments about players' careers and good draft pick or bad draft pick and things like that, like so early on. There were definitely circumstances, and Cole didn't help himself when he was in there making mistakes. I think the injuries played a big role and a big part of, you know, him having those mistakes and him not being, you know, ready to play when people wanted him to and people needed him to. And, you know, part of it was Taylor Rapp was not the right guy and he wasn't healthy enough to be playing next to him. And that didn't help Cole enough. And when you have two safeties in a system that relies on both of them playing off each other a lot and enough and so much that when one of them is less than, it's going to impact the other one and make him less than. And I think that Cole Bishop was also a product of that with Taylor Rapp not being healthy. And we saw what was happening there. Well, you insert Jordan Poyer and suddenly Cole Bishop seems like a new player. And that's because of the work he does off the field with him too, by the way, like Jordan, I mean, like in practice and film room and you're bringing him in here for that. We were told that, but I just think that calming the situation back there, having a stable voice and understanding and knowing, and a guy that can really, you know, the direction of that secondary and the whole defense has really helped him. But he has been a really, really important player and a good player for them over the last several weeks. I mean, that New Orleans game, when he had that interception and everybody saw the athletic ability, it just feels like he's been, like that play has kind of really changed his career. You know, guys, like it really has.
Yeah.
You go back to that play. Ever since that play, he's just been on an ascension, and I think that was a big confidence booster. Getting Jordan Poyer next to him has been really helpful, and you can really point to that moment where things started to change.
Yeah, absolutely. Sal Capaccio here on the Wester Hotline. To the Bills' opponent, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, some good news for them and maybe a little surprising good news. Both Bucky Irving and Chris Godwin, Sal, were both limited at practice today, albeit in a walkthrough. But, man, that would, I think, be a bit of a blow to the Bills if Bucky Irving, I think more so than Chris Godwin, if Bucky Irving could end up playing for Tampa this weekend.
Yeah, he's a really good player. They've been without him for about a month and a half here. Mm-hmm. He catches the ball out of the backfield. He runs the ball. He's just a guy they rely on in so many facets of the game. He has dealt with a shoulder and a foot injury. And Todd Bowles, this is really interesting to me, a couple of things about this. Because he did practice yesterday in a walkthrough. And Todd Bowles basically said that he still needs to take a hit on the shoulder. Well, that's not a walkthrough, right? I mean, like, when are you going to take that hit? So are you going to put him in a game against the Buffalo Bills in a colder, windier game, basically in Buffalo? I'm not sure. It feels like it's a little too premature for them to do that. Like, it feels like it's, you know, a little ambitious if they're going to do that. Mm-hmm. So as I sit here now, I think that maybe it's another week. They'd have a conference game after the Bills. They play the LA Rams next week. There's a non-conference game. So I don't know. If they put Bucky Irvin out in the field this week, he's a really good player, but I do wonder, you know, what that looks like for them. It also is super interesting to me, guys. I think that's the first time I've ever seen a video of a media member put out a video of a walkthrough. And I don't know what that means. So, I tell you this, because let me tell you, just peek mm-hmm. behind the curtain. Like, teams don't, you guys know we have rules in practice, what we can shoot, what we can't, right? Yep. We go to practice, we have you can shoot stretching and individual work and all that kind of stuff. Every team is different. Some teams don't let you take video of anything. I mean, I don't think the Bears, I don't think the Bears media is allowed to put out any video of anything. So, like, every team's different. But I don't know of any team that allows video of a walkthrough. A walkthrough is generally game planning. And here's this video yesterday that pops up of a media member who I cover, who I follow this week. I'll actually point you to who it was. And I have to apologize. I'm going to try and scroll down and find it, because I was looking at it yesterday. And I'm like, wow, like, they can actually put video out of walkthroughs. And then I'm thinking, well, maybe in some capacity, the Buccaneers want that video out there for the Bills to make them think that he's going to play. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Right. Like, is it gamesmanship? I really don't know what to think about it.
Was it Rick Stroud, by the way?
In the game.
It wasn't Rick Stroud, but maybe he... Rick Stroud is a longtime writer and reporter, so he could have had video too. It wasn't the one I saw.
Yeah, I was going to say, because he's the one I saw, but he was the grainy photo. It wasn't a video, but it was a photo.
No, there was literally video of Bucky Irving in a walkthrough, and I'm like, Well, that's kind of weird.
I was glad you brought this up because this is what I was thinking too. And I'm like, this almost kind of feels like it shouldn't have been out until later in the day when Todd Bowles spoke. But yeah, so we had both seen different stuff. So yeah, maybe they're a little bit different. That is always kind of one of the more interesting things is how different teams do different things. The Bills, obviously, everyone kind of knows, especially once McDermott came in, it got a little different and a little wonky. We'll see though. I'm with you, Sal. Because we've also seen this from the Bills as well, that there actually is more of a ramp-up period of they're limited for a week, and then the process really begins of actually if they're going to go play. And Bowles' comments of, you know, he needs to take a hit on the shoulder. Yeah, I can't imagine you're going to do that in a game. And, like, let's see how it reacts. Bowles has been around too long. This is not his first stop. I can't imagine he'd do that.
Yeah, and then you have Chris Godwin, obviously, coming back from the fibula injury, right? Mm-hmm. And like, what does that look like? You know, is he ready to play? So it just feels everything put together just feels to me like it's not going to be something that we're going to be, you know, seeing them. But who knows? I mean, they could decide to you know, put these guys on the field on Sunday and go from there.
Yeah, absolutely. Sal, we also have Thursday Night Football tonight. It's an AFC East game, and one that I can't believe I'm saying this. I'm looking forward to watching a game that has a 12.5-point spread. I really, really am. I haven't been able to get to see too much of Drake May outside of the red zone highlights, and that doesn't tell the whole story, right? You don't get to see the entire game. But then also with the Jets, the stuff with Aaron Glenn, and he kind of, you know, kind of got combative with the media earlier this week with the injury report and stuff like that. I'm kind of into watching this game. I want the Patriots to lose. Do not get me wrong. But I've also just got kind of this like inkling of like, let's see how bad this whole Jets situation can get. I don't know. It's weird. I'm kind of all in on this game.
Yeah, I mean, I have no visions of grandeur of the Jets beating the Patriots tonight. But it is the NFL. Anything can happen. If it was in New York, maybe a little more chance because it's a Thursday night going on the road. Now, it's not a long trip, obviously, to go from, you know, New England to New York or New York to New England, but it's the Jets on the road here at New England on a Thursday night. Like, I don't think that's going to happen. You never know, though. I mean, the Jets, they have won two in a row, but in those games, they've still given up, 38 to the Bengals. Nothing, you know, good offense there. 20 to the Browns, who don't have much of an offense to speak of. They did last week, though. If you look at their... You look at the numbers for the Jets last week. How did they win that game?
I know.
They were 3 of 11. They were out first down 23-12 by the Browns. 23-12. Oh, they converted 3 of 11 first downs and had less than 170 total yards of offense. Yet they scored 27 points and won.
See, I was just looking at the Justin Fields stat line where it's like, oh, he had 54 yards passing. That's bad enough. No, it's even worse. 42 of it came on one Breece Hall catch.
I know.
That's even worse somehow. It's just
And no Garrett Wilson now. Garrett Wilson.
He's out for at least, I think, 3 or 4 weeks was the report.
3 to 4 weeks, Garrett Wilson out, so you don't have him. And look, Drake May is playing like an MVP. Yeah. There's no doubt about it. There are people who will tell you right now he is the MVP of the league. This kid is good. And they've handled him right. And he's got Josh McDaniels now as his offensive coordinator. And they are... The one thing about the Patriots that I just can't believe is sustainable, but it just keeps happening every week, is them hitting these deep shots.
I know.
I mean, they are hitting on a deep ball rate. They are hitting 2 or 3 a game. It is crazy.
And it doesn't matter
who it is. Some of the throws I'm watching on, I'm like, wait, how did that get completed? Like, it's a great throw, and it's a really good catch, but it's way too often that's actually being completed compared to what you normally see.
And it does not even matter who it is. One week it's Stephon Diggs. Last week it's Mac Collins. I mean, they have Kyle Williams had like a 72-yard touchdown. Like, it's just big play
Pop
after
Douglas.
Big play. Pop Douglas. And you're like, who are half these guys? What is going on here? I think that also maybe to the same extent it was for Allen last year, why so many people are really getting ready to crown Drake May is that, guys, he's throwing to 30-plus-year-old Stephon Diggs coming off an ACL injury and a bunch of dudes. Credit to him.
And he wasn't even like May last week. His completion percentage was not good. He completed just over 50% of his balls. But because he threw a few long passes, it wound up being a really big – Williams had a 72-yard touchdown catch, right? And then, by the way, they're also getting – they got huge plays in the run game. Travion Henderson, 55-yard run. Travion Henderson, 69-yard run. Like, the dude had a 55-yard touchdown run and a 69-yard touchdown run against this Buccaneers team, by the way, which is a very good run defense. It has been. That's coming to Buffalo this week. But they have been living on the big play a lot this year. And I don't know. I mean, the results are what the results, and you take them. I just keep thinking, man, is that sustainable? But the way that he's playing... you got to give them a lot of credit. They've done a really good job, the Patriots. But tonight they play a Jets team that's just so depleted. And, yeah, they've won two in a row. I can't see the Jets going to New England winning on a Thursday night tonight.
Yeah, and speaking of the Jets, also, Garrett Wilson officially downgraded to out. And it's almost as if the Jets can't afford to lose a player like Garrett Wilson here too now. And oddly enough, though, they have won a couple games since hitting, was it 0-7? Have they won two in a row? Is that?
They have won two in a row, yeah.
Oh yes, they won two in a row, yes.
So don't let the Jets get hot. But no, it does look like it is another lost season for the Jets here as well, as they're playing out the string, trading two players away at the deadline that were core pieces for them. And a passing offense where the quarterback is just so gun-shy that he won't throw the football.
Yeah, so we'll see where it goes with the Jets.
It's a tough one. Zach's saying, I'm excited to watch
this. I'm all in.
Do we need to do we need to give him a hug?
I'm all in, man.
Who?
12.5-point spread, I'm all in for this game.
Who, Zach? Why? Because he wants to watch this game tonight?
I'm so all in for this game.
Listen, last night I was...
watch the Sabres.
Last night I was all in watching. I'm like, I'm ready to watch the Sabres. Come on now, go out west, get a couple points here. They're up 2-0. You're like, okay.
Right.
Like, let's go. Like, this is, and you know what? I even tweeted after the second goal. It was like terrible turnover in their own end. They get away with it. They score a goal. Roseans gets his second. I'm like, okay, like that stuff that usually happens against the Sabres. Maybe tonight's their night, right?
Right.
Wasn't the case.
No,
it was not their case.
I already know I need a hug because I watched that whole game last night.
Yeah,
so I know that, like, yeah. So, but Zach, yeah, I don't know, man.
I mean, it's going to be that, and it's going to be Indiana and it's going to be Purdue and Alabama and basketball. I'm going to have a great sports night, Sal. I'm excited.
Oh, I'm happy. About
I'm very
that.
Excited.
I will be at the. I will watch some of the game when I get home. I'll keep an eye on it, but not in the theater. I'll be at the premiere of the Hallmark movie tonight.
Fantastic. All right. Sal, so glad you brought that up.
So if anybody's going tonight, say hi. I'll be there. Yeah. So it'll be fun. I'm cringy. I've never, you know, guys know that I have I had a scene in the movie, right? Mm-hmm. I have a couple scenes, but I have a speaking part and I have not seen it yet. Like literally tonight will be the first night I've seen that.
I think that's
they
the best.
They didn't give you a preview?
No, I think it's the best.
No, there was somebody who said, you know, if you want a preview, and I'm like, yeah, maybe. I never got around to it. I'm like, okay. I'm just going to watch it. Yeah.
I think it's the best
way to handle it. We're just going to do it live.
I love it. We're going to do it live.
Do it live.
You know?
Embrace it, Sal. Enjoy tonight. We'll talk again soon, man. Have a good day.
All right, you got it, guys. Thanks.
Sal Capaccio there on the Wester Hotline. I think it's the way to do it. If you ever have that opportunity, don't see it before. See it with everybody else and embrace it. Embrace it.
I kind of want Sal to do the Leo meme.
Oh, good movie. 803-0550, the number to call. We were talking Sabres, talking Bills there with Sal, and we'll keep going. 803-0550, the number to call. You're listening to WGR.
I think we're finding ourselves a little bit. Again, the mention of different wide receivers in there and this and that, and it's not what you want, but it's okay. We got to continue to find our best combination. Who gives us the best chance to win, and you know, where can we find the rhythm in the passing game and whatnot. But overall, we've had it at times, and then other times it hasn't been there. So we got to find that again and then stay with it.
Bills head coach Sean McDermott talking about the passing game. Finding better combinations with the wide receivers, getting more into a rhythm. That's maybe like more one of the positive things he said about the wide receivers in the passing game in the last few weeks. That's why I've been trying. We haven't heard too many calls on the, you know, this is what McDermott wants in the offense, the whole thing. But I've been trying to push back on that, you know, outwardly
on that rhetoric,
hearing it, because it's just like, guys, from everything I'm hearing from him. No.
He's publicly saying, this is not what I want. I do not want this. And obviously, we just spoke with Sal Capaccio, getting ready for the next week, the next day of practice here. He went over the injury list with us, everything else going on with the Bills right now. And don't forget to join Sal Capaccio and Matt Bove for the live recording of It's Always Game Day in Buffalo podcast down at Batavia Downs Gaming and Hotel on Tuesday, November 18th from 6 to 7 p.m. And don't miss the upcoming events at Batavia Downs, including Thurman Thomas Tailgate Party on November 20th and the Batavia Downs Bar Crawl on November 28th. Visit bataviadownsgaming.com.
How are we reacting, by the way, if the Patriots do drop tonight? I don't imagine they will. They're 12.5-point favorites against the Jets. The Jets are not good and hurt and have also lost key players to trades. But it's Thursday night, and we've seen weirder things. And we're all kind of, in some way, expecting the other shoe to drop. For the Patriots to drop a game they really shouldn't. And, you know, looking at games
if
like Atlanta.
If it's the Jets.
I know.
No, ready?
But what's the sounds tomorrow morning all of a sudden going into this Tampa game?
Thank goodness I'm not in the air because I'm going to laugh more than the Joker in the Batman animated series.
See, I don't know the way the Bills were playing, I don't know if I'm laughing or making fun of them. I think it's just, okay, now you got to go. Like, it becomes that much more intense of, okay, you got to win now Sunday.
Well, first, it'd be the day after thing of, like, they actually lost.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's back to being a scenario where the Bills are back in this thing. And it was the Jets? Are you kidding me? This is hilarious, actually. Then I think Saturday it would turn into, okay, tomorrow's going to be hell.
Lock it down. Get
tomorrow's
after it.
Tomorrow's going to be hell because we got to get after it. But no, that next day, I'm laughing. I'm laughing the entire time. I'm laughing so much that I might have to be admitted to the hospital because my sides will have fallen off.
I just it feels like such like a 35-7 game tonight.
Oh, absolutely.
They're in their rivalry jerseys and all that stuff, and I'm just like, it's going to be bad.
Good news, not a great win percentage for the rivalry jerseys.
Which is upsetting. Because I've liked the looks.
If that happens, burn the concept.
I think Miami won in them, right?
Against the Jets.
Miami won again.
New England's right. Playing the exception to the rule.
Right. Because Arizona lost in them. Buffalo lost in them. Have we seen anybody else to them? Or is this the fourth one?
I think this is the fourth one.
Okay, yeah. So, I mean, 1-2. It's not the worst.
But it's not good.
It's not good. But tonight, I mean, you know, can go to 2-2.
New England's facing the exception. It would be funny if they went 2-6 all year with the rivalries jerseys and the wins come against the Jets.
You know what I have not loved this year for the Bills, honestly? They're losing in the creative uniforms.
They're losing in the not standard uniforms.
I know. I'm not liking it. And this week we've got the standing Buffalo, and I'm like, don't go 0-3 in these jerseys. These jerseys being the non-standard ones. Because I'm enjoying it. And like, I'm not the biggest person of like, I want to see a bunch of different looks. Like I've mentioned with the Bills, I like the white out road uniforms, and I like blue jersey, white pants, home uniforms. Like, I'm good. I don't need too much.
Simplicity is best.
Yeah. But I've also really enjoyed that, you know, we have the rivalry jerseys. We're going to do the throwback. We're going to end the year with the red helmets. I don't want it to be like a 1-4 situation because they're going to be the Jets week 18. I'm just, please. Please. I don't want us all sitting there going like, yeah, every time they got cute and fun.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
it. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. Pricing's precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you.
Ooh.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. 1. It's $15 a month. 2. Seriously, it's $15 a month. 3. No big contract. 4. I use it. 5. My mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
It was a disaster. Like, no one's going to like the rivalry jerseys 10 years from now.
What if they're locked in place to, like, the fifth or sixth seed, and then they punt that game against the Jets?
Oh, man. I don't love that. Like, if we're looking at, like, potentially 1-3 or 0-4 in the fun jerseys, that's a non-winning percentage, potentially, or a bad winning percentage.
Non-winning percentage. That's dreadful.
That's dreadful.
You're being too nice.
Well, because then I'm going to become the hardest critic. Anytime, like, any interesting uniforms going to come out, I'm like, guys, remember 25. Remember 2025. I'm not doing this again. I don't want to be that guy. I don't want to be that guy at all. 803-0550, the number two call. Talking Bills, talking Sabres, especially after last night. They are in action again tonight. A back-to-back, a 5-2 loss to Utah last night. And now, tonight at 9, they take on the Colorado Avalanche, one of the best teams in the NHL. Nathan MacKinnon leading the league in scoring. We'll go back to the phones here, and David is with us next. David, how are we doing, man?
Hey, guys. Good. How you doing?
Doing well.
Before I get into my point, I just want to give the Sabres a little pat on the back. I know the record's been kind of tough the last few games, but they're playing hard this year. At least it's fun to watch that. But I just want to call – sorry, guys, coming on the bike here. I think the Brandon Beane thing has just kind of run its course. Like, kind of look at how things have evolved. You know, the core of this team since 2022 has aged out. You haven't been able to replace that talent level. You know, no one's going to admit their baby's ugly, but – you know, they've really had zero high value adds since the Diggs trade, which was 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
You know, think candidly. I mean, around it's tough is what the team's needs are and how good the players are on this team. Use Bernard as an example. Like, down and down, not a good player. But, you know, he makes his flash plays. Edmonds didn't make his flash plays.
Right.
So, you know, I just feel like, hey, you know, maybe you need a different opinion here. I mean, his roster's not that good. A 5-win team with an average quarterback.
I wonder about that, David, and thanks for the call. I mentioned this in the offseason. This was my biggest fear, is I didn't love the talent level compared to some of the top teams. And I thought overall that's why they had lost in the playoffs, is that the talent level of the top tier AFC teams was better, even going back to the divisional round. Baltimore loses that game far more than Buffalo wins it. No one cares, though, ultimately, because it's a playoff game and the winner moves on. But I think that still holds true. This is the first year, and Nate Geary brought this up yesterday with Bulldog.
Yep.
This is really the first year that Beane is under fire. There have always been his critics, and I probably was a little bit earlier to it, and to a certain extent a little unfair. I value mm-hmm. the draft almost too much, and the misses were starting to really bother
right.
me, especially when I'm looking around the league at guys like in Tampa or Howie Roseman in Philadelphia, Les Snead in L.A., and all that stuff. Jason Light, by the way, in Tampa. I don't know why. I just ignored his name. But – I was maybe being a little unfair. This is the first year, though, where he's really getting heat. Part of it is his own doing.
It is his own doing.
Is making fun of essentially making fun of the idea of needing a wide receiver. And then the unit is really bad and in clear need of high-end capital. I'd also say, too, his drafting of Keon Coleman at all, now a year and a half in, looks to just be a massive head-scratching move that doesn't fit anything the Bills did well, doesn't fit what they were doing that offseason. I think Keon might be an okay, good receiver in the NFL, just not on the Bills, which is frustrating to say, knowing that Josh Allen's your quarterback, and for a little while there, it felt like, man, any receiver that joins Josh Allen's going to have a career year. John Brown, Cole Beasley, Stephon Diggs. It was just boom, boom, boom,
yep.
boom. It felt like it was coming. Now, that's a few years off. That is not the case anymore. I don't think he really fits their system. I don't think he really fits Josh Allen as a quarterback and who he likes going to. But so you have that.
But you know what it also is? It's something that he worked along with in Carolina. The type of receiver.
Yeah.
Calvin Benjamin. Devin Funchess.
It's Dave Gettleman. I know a lot of people look to McDermott always and judge him for being a defensive guy. And that's why I'm not exonerating him of all of his wrongdoings. I'm not. He has his warts. But in this, I do want to push back, is I think he does want to throw the ball. I think he wants to look more like Detroit or the Rams, where, hey, yeah, we can run the ball. Of course, that's awesome. We also have a superstar quarterback. We're going to throw the ball. But we can do both. on any given day, we can kill you whichever way we like. The Bills cannot do that this year. They kind of couldn't last year either. But like we brought up with Sal the last 2 days, they had great starting field position. They literally led the league in starting field position last year. They are now second to last this year. They had a ton of takeaways on defense. They didn't turn the ball over on offense. Everything went perfect for them last year.
It was playing perfectly last year. Like the offensive line in particular had one of the best seasons in pass pro that you could have ever had.
Mm-hmm. And so they're having a tough time. I think there is a talent issue here. The contract extensions have not worked out. We've talked to that to death. But for me, I do wonder. The bullseye has been painted so heavily on Brandon Bean, and the man damn near bought the paint for it.
Yes.
I mean, that's the thing is, and now you're getting the national media really riled up about the receiver problem, and they're calling it a front office issue. Go to Mina Kimes on her podcast. That's almost exactly what she says is, this is a front office issue, not addressing the wide receivers. Then getting agitated when people brought up that it's still kind of an issue. Josh Palmer might be a great compliment wide receiver. He's not a one.
He's not a one, and I think that's what the Bills are now missing at this point. They have a bunch of guys, but that can very easily be a problem when they have to move up the depth chart.
Mm-hmm. And then even Dalton Kincaid is maybe another one, and while I love the talent that he has, maybe his biggest problem is that they actually can't use him more. He physically can't stand up. I don't know, but he seems to have been picking up injuries as we go, the hamstring, and Sal's brought up. Maybe it's not good to have him on the field more than, what is it, like the 45% of the time that he's on average.
It's getting unfortunate this year with him because he's been so good when he's on the field, and I've wanted to push that threshold, but then Kincaid will pick up an injury, and it's bad luck and it's bad timing on that sort of thing to where, all right, well, I don't know what to do here. But also, at the end of the day, Kincaid is still also listed as a tight end.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, we drafted him to be a receiver. No, he plays tight end. If you're going into contract negotiations, you're negotiating it as a tight end.
Yeah, or else we're going to have a Mike Gesicki situation, which that went well.
Right. It just, there's enough frustrations there. And then it's, like you just said, Bean probably bought the paint himself for painting the target on his back here, and it just, it has compounded at this point. He was not nearly thought of, even remotely,
no,
as a problem, quote unquote, to really anyone.
I think by at large, if you polled all of Bill's Mafia before this offseason, most of us said they're fine with Bean. I would say most would say they would love him. But yes, if people were asked, what's the problem? Sean McDermott. Yep. And then you'd have a few beans thrown in there. Maybe. Now, I think it has somewhat flipped. Again, McDermott's always going to get – he's the head coach.
You wear it as the head coach. It's unfair in some ways.
But I think we are very close to 50-50 split. And honestly, the trade deadline has not helped either. The report that they were in on Jaylen Waddle or Quinnen Williams and getting nothing done does not help your case at all. Because now you look like – and this maybe is true or not, but – not fair, but you're going to look like the do-nothing GM. I mean, the caller just brought up, like, what's the last major trade they made? Stephon Diggs. I mean, that's the pandemic.
Yeah. That is literally the pandemic.
It's years ago now.
5 years. So, 5 years ago.
Yeah, so it's hard to hold. It's the same thing, though, of bringing up I drafted Josh Allen, which he did as sort of a defense. Now that's just going to agitate more people of like, seriously, you're going that far back, really?
You're going
like,
7 years back here.
We haven't won a championship yet, and you're going back into the past, again, of years we didn't win a Super Bowl in.
With said player that should have won.
Yeah, it feels like the first time in his tenure as GM that he maybe has less support than Sean McDermott does. And it's dwindling as the weeks go on, and it's probably going to dwindle as the weeks go on here too, because the Bills are playing better pass defenses, and they may not have Kincaid for a few weeks here. So it's got to be Josh Palmer and Keon Coleman picking up the slack, and maybe Khalil Shakir. But we'll see about the rib injury. It might seriously be Gabe Davis.
And the fact that I have to say that is already abhorrent on the general manager's resume.
Yeah. 803-0550, the number to call. Adam is up next. Adam, how are we doing?
Morning, guys. How are we doing? Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for calling in.
I mean, You know, the blame is, there's a lot of different ways it can go. But the one thing that's always really stuck out to me with this organization, and more specifically the coaching staff, is, you know, the coaching staff in and of itself, we don't seem to really attract quality coaching candidates from outside the organization, unless if they're coming from the Carolina Panthers. You know, and take a look at the last like 10 Super Bowl winning head coaches. Mm-hmm. You know, they seem to have a specialty that they manage in terms of their side of the ball. Nick Sirianni, you know, he's running the offense. You have Vic Fangio that's running the defense. You know, if the Chiefs, you know, you have Andy Reid, he's running the offense. You have Steve Spagnuolo on the defense. The Rams, when they went and won, you had McVay running the offense. You had Raheem Morris running the defense. There seems to be a huge disconnect between what our head coach wants to do with the offensive side of the ball and who he trusts. What I would really like to see after this season is all said and done, if Brady's going to be back, have the ability to bring in some type of specialist who's going to be your senior offensive head coach or whatever. And just to throw a name out there, to give an example, why can't you bring in like a Mike McCarthy to do this? Or again, just right, using him as an example, mm-hmm. a John Gruden. And I think that comes down to the simple fact of, I don't think Sean McDermott knows what he wants to be on offense. For years, we're throwing long touchdowns. You know, we're turning the ball over, sure, but, you know, our air yards are crazy. We're throwing the ball all over the place, and then it's, nope, we got to be more 12 personnel and control the line of scrimmage and blah, blah, blah. And that they tried to fit that square peg into a round hole, and it does not work. And now I think we're still paying the price for wanting to do that. And now it's like, well, now we need to be better throwing the football. This is the team that – this is the offense that he wanted. And as much as he can say that he wants to be better throwing the football, I think his actions or his lack of action in terms of adding to the offensive coaching staff is really starting to rear its head in terms of just the way I see the coaching staff. You know, there doesn't really seem to be this need to attract quality coaching candidates from outside of the organization, and that has to change if he's going to stick around. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Adam, thanks for the call.
I'll hang up and I'll listen to your comments.
Yeah, this is something I've wanted the Bills to do more, because I think it's deliberate. I think they want to bring in guys and then promote from within. You've seen that the last two OCs, they have done that.
You have mentioned if Miami fires him.
I want McDaniel.
You want McDaniel to replace Brady if he gets a head coaching job.
That's what I want. You know,
or a coach of that caliber where it is an outside source of the organization, because how many times have you said it? About the promoting from within thing.
I think there's a positive and a negative to it. And I think the Bills have run into the negative where it's a bit of an echo chamber. I think also they've run into a problem of each offensive coordinator that they've had in McDermott seem to have a different idea. Like, this is where I will criticize McDermott. Dude, stick to it. This is Buffalo Bills football. I know it's cringy. I get it. But this is what we do here. We have Josh Allen, a quarterback. You can bring in your ideas and some different flavor to it, but this is what we do. Brian Daboll's offense was different than Ken Dorsey's, and Ken Dorsey's is wildly different than Joe Brady's. That is not sustainable success. They are going to run into problems, and they have with the last two OCs, where the numbers look good because they have Josh Allen at quarterback and now James Cook at running back for Brady. But there is a disconnect there, and I do blame McDermott a little bit on that. Of, you're the head coach. You delegate, and I'm fine with that. Nick Sirianni is around for the offense. He is far more of a delegator.
Yes.
For the Eagles. Sean McVay handles the offense, but even Andy Reid, he has Matt Nagy as his offense coordinator. Like, but it's, you run our system. This is what we do, and you're here to bring in a little bit of a different flavor. You're adding a little bit of spice to this dish.
And that's where the
dish.
Defensive background is probably where it bites him in that sense. He has to more or less trust that whoever's running this is going to get it done.
Because the defense has their identity. As much as we'll all complain about it, they have their identity. The offense, it does seem to change year into year. So, Adam, I think you're right. And I'm going to be saying this the whole offseason, or, well, you know, however long it's going to last. If McDaniel is fired from Miami, that is who I want. If Brady is gone and McDaniel's fired, that's who I want as an offensive coordinator. Bring in different voices. Bring in different ideas. And that can hopefully help and put you on an even better path than you already are. 803-0550, the number to call. Sabres Live coming up at the top of the hour. You're listening to WGR. Quick final segment here as we wrap up a Thursday morning here on WGR. Sabres Live coming up in just a few minutes. Before we get out of here, though, some funny media moments yesterday. Baker.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just for
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk.
Crazy weather we're having.
No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know him to break him.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman. New season streaming November 16th. Only on Paramount Plus.
Mayfield and Josh Allen both taking shots at each other. Their hand sizes. Allen was called 6'10", which I can't find as an insult.
Baker Mayfield says, I have to walkie-talkie to him because he's so damn tall. In Buffalo, it's cold, rainy, and even though he's 6'10", his hands are small, so he better wear his gloves.
So funny. And then Allen says that he wears two gloves when he's golfing. That's the kind of guy he is. Which, you know, Nate Geary was explaining kind of how that operates. And I'm like, yeah, he probably just looks kind of like an idiot. A little bit of a try-hard. I like Baker Mayfield so much. I like him and Sam Darnold both. Mm-hmm. The career revitalizations they've had. I'm glad both are in the NFC so I can like openly root for them when they're not playing the Bills.
I think it's also their story. They're both on their fourth team.
Yeah, Darnold and Mayfield. It took time. They both had to fail.
Even Mayfield, it didn't take time, but he was mismanaged by Cleveland.
Yeah, I was going to say Baker was actually the darling of that rookie year. It was not Jackson. It was Baker Mayfield. He was the darling of the rookie year. Disaster for both of them, and now they're both awesome. And they maybe had my favorite game of the NFL this year when they both played each other.
True.
Sabres Live coming up next. This is WGR.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just for
you. Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes, subject to driver availability. More terms apply.